what thought there is in bringing the temple and the farm closer together as one entity rather than two.
By the way, we have got farm, we construct a temple also. Yes, that's right.
Just like we have so many farming communities, Prabhupada has mentioned that wherever our farm is, actually we're not farmers.
No.
Prabhupada is trying to create a class of intelligent men, Brahmin. Brahmin is the head of the human society. So actually it's one body, one entity already. Simply that there's different activities that we have to perform. Example is given, Bhuke Bahuru Padaja. That there's the head, there's the arms, there's the belly, the abdomen, and then there's the legs. And all of them are part of the same body. So you might say that the legs are removed from the head, or that the head is removed from the stomach, but actually it's all one body. And it works together. But the head gives direction to the whole body how to act properly, so that the benefit is there, can be derived. So Srila Prabhupada is creating a class of Brahmins, or heads of human society, who can give direction to the whole sphere of human activity so that they can become successful in human life. So in reality, we're not trying to create farmers. We're trying to create Brahmins. But our farming communities are, so to speak, an example, an ideal example, how human society can live. Some people in the capacity of preachers, some people in the capacity of farmers. How so many activities can go on, various occupations, but all of them can be God-centered. So in reality, these people, they're farmers, they're out there on their tractor. They can jump off their tractor at any moment and preach the highest philosophy, because actually they're Brahmins. They're an intelligent class of men. So it's one entity. The basic principle is that modern society is neglecting to train up, especially young men. You can see that in spite of so many universities throughout the world, these young men are being trained up how to become woman hunters and debauches, going to the bars, going to the gambling houses, and they're supposed to be educated people. So real education is how to train up one to have ideal character, to become a Brahmin.
Thank you.
Means productive. There must be food production, otherwise how the society will live. So that is also a requisition. Good direction required, good government required, good production required, and good worker required. Can explain that there is no understanding of spiritual life, that they are missing the opportunity of human life.
Yes, this Krishna consciousness is a spiritual culture. And basically speaking, the human society begins from dharma, or accepting the principle of God. Dharma begins with this acceptance of the principle of God, that human beings, their activities, have to be regulated, just like in human society there's marriage. This is according to scripture. Every scripture regulates there must be marriage. This is dharma. It regulates certain activities that should be done, certain activities which should not be done. And basically speaking, this is the beginning of human civilization. Otherwise, We're simply living in a civilization of gross sense gratification, which is in reality no different or no better than the society of animals. So from Dharma, human society begins. And generally, we can see practically that Dharma generally focuses, people are taking that Dharma is for the basis of economic development. And this is proven practically because in pioneer times in America, for example, people, they were simply going to churches and synagogues and temples and all kinds of things, what have you. And economic development was going on very nicely. In fact, economic development could not have gone on unless there was this principle of religion. People were very, practically speaking, in a pioneer situation, people are very barbaric. Struggle for existence, you know, you're in a country, there's no roads, there's no cities, everyone is very simply interested to maintain themselves. But by churches and things of this nature, people saw the need for a civilized give and take way of living, economic development. Then, gradually, the ideas developed further and further. But in modern day, we can see that people are having economic development, and there's no need for God. They think, at least. In other words, people are no longer attending churches, synagogues, things of this nature, because they're making sufficient money without the need of religion. Therefore, basic principle is being missed, that human life is not simply meant for economic development. Human life, we analyze, we can see that
human life is meant for making a solution of all material problems.
Yes.
That they do not. That point is missing. That there is another life which is eternal, blissful life of knowledge. That they have no idea that we can eternally live without birth, death, old age and disease. There is no information, neither education. But there is a life. There is, if you get eternal life, then the tribulations of material life no longer there. Birth, death, old age and disease. But they have no idea or information because there is no intelligent man to understand that there is another life which is eternal life of bliss and knowledge. There is no information. That is the defect of the modern civilization. They're living like animals, no intelligence. So, actually human life is meant for purifying our existential condition so that we may not be subjected to birth, death, old age and disease. That they are missing. They do not know, neither there is any education, nor university. This Krishna consciousness movement is trying to educate people on that line. It is not a sentimental religious system. It is an educational system. How one can transfer himself to eternal blissful life.
Yes.
Let him come. When you have come?
A few hours ago.
Sir, everything is all right?
Yes.
explain to them about eternal life.
Eternal life?
Yes.
Eternal life is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Ajonito shashvatam yo paranam. Jayate Miyate Vakadachi, Nayan Hipa Bhavita Vana Buyaha, Ajonetam Shashto Yankara, Amitam Vishabhira. Eternal means without a beginning, without an end. So this body, this human form of life, or tree form of life, or animal form of life, aquatic form of life, it has a beginning and it has an end. But the person, the soul, has no beginning or end. This is described by Krishna that Dehi nosmi nyata dehi komanam jovanam jara. We've experienced in our practical lifetime that when we were very tiny, youth, we had a small body, child's body, komanam, jovanam, then youthful body. Then we're having old man, old woman's body, like this. So practically speaking, this body is constantly changing. Although, Krishna gives this example because he's trying to explain a very fine point of understanding, namely transmigration of the soul. That in reality, the body that we have is changing at every moment, at every instant. But we cannot see that because our consciousness is not so sharp to pick up on this change of body. But Krishna explains, you can see that you had a small body, now you have a youthful body, now you have an old man's body. Actually, there is a continuum of change at every moment. So this is the changing material body, and the mind likewise is changing. But the soul, the living entity, is not changing. And this is experienced practically by the fact that in spite of so many changes of body that we've had, we're still the same person. Just like we can remember when we were young children, playing in the park or in the streets, and then older, going to school, older, family life, older, now we're retired, now like this, now like this. So like this, the body is changing in so many ways, but still I'm the same person. This can be practically experienced. Everyone has this understanding. Different body, but you're still the same person. So this spiritual identity should be the real concern. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This should be the real concern of the human society. Not this temporary changing body. The whole human society is presently geared how to satisfy the demands of this temporary body. But we can see practically that this is fruitless. Ultimately, we have to give up this body. Ultimately, we have to give up our connection with society, with family, with everything. So everything should have its proper place, naturally, but the real focus of human life should be on the soul. This is Krishna consciousness. Not only the soul, but the relationship of the soul with God. So practically speaking, Krishna consciousness is a spiritual movement. We're trying to come to the platform, as Prabhupada has been speaking in class in the mornings about Saddharma, eternal religion or eternal activity of the soul. Sat means eternal. Here in this material world, everything is temporary. By accident, you may be born in America or in India or in Japan, or in a human form, or in a cat form, but it's temporary. But the soul is eternal. And there is also a place, parastasmatubhava anya, another place beyond this material world, which is called the spiritual world. And that place is sanatana. That place is eternal. And Krishna also is eternal. So sad-dharma, or eternal occupation of the soul, eternal religion, is that the living entity should be in this place, this eternal place, where there's no change of body. That you have to take a body and then give it up, and then, according to your work, take another body and then give it up. Revolve in the cycle of birth and death unnecessarily. Go to the Sanatana atmosphere, And there the Sanatana Lord is there, and there the soul is in his natural environment. And the exchange of love that takes place in this spiritual world, this is Sadharma. So this temporary world of birth and death, this is Asat. Krishna says, Dukalayam Ashashva. It's Asat. It's a temporary place. We're taking it to be real. Just like in a dream, we take that the dream is all in all. But by chanting this mantra, we can be awakened from this maddening materialistic way of life, which is simply binding us up more and more to this false conception of attachment for this body. Practically, we know that we have to give up this body. But still, because everyone in the material world, Prabhupada explained this morning, is just like a madman. People are attached. It's like if you're attached to your clothes and you're thinking that if my clothes are finished, I'm finished. So this is a mad proposition. You can always get another set of clothes. Similarly, we're different from this body. So to be overly attached with this body, or even attached at all, is a form of madness. That's a fact. We analyze this soberly.
You mentioned an exchange of love in the spiritual world.
Yes.
I could do.
Everyone is exchanging love in this world. We see that practically, that husband and wife are exchanging love, children and parents are exchanging love, friend and friend are exchanging love. There's so many different relationships in which we exchange love. Even animals, like a dog, a pet dog is exchanging love. It's been analyzed, experiments have been done that even a plant is more productive when he knows that the person who's taking care of the plant is a friend. They speak about the green thumb. So even plants respond, they're sensitive. In a sense, they're also exchanging love in a simple way. So this loving propensity is natural. The difficulty is that due to ignorance, we're exchanging love on the bodily platform, which is asat, temporary. And therefore everyone is frustrated. Everyone is frustrated. It's a false platform of love. So the real platform of love is when we come to the soul platform. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Rama Bhuta Prasanatma na Shorchite na Kanchate Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktam Lavate Param. That when you come to the soul platform, it's also called Brahma Bhuta stage, or platform of the soul, then Mad Bhaktam Lavate Param. That bhakti means transcendental love and service to God.
Bhakti means, yes, exchange of love between God and the individual soul.
This becomes awakened on the spiritual platform. So the Krishna consciousness process is gradually to purify one, because that natural loving propensity is there. Our contention, and practically we're experiencing it, is that Krishna consciousness is natural way of love. It's not artificial imposition. Rather, in this present materialistic way of life, so many artificial standards and impositions have been put upon us. You can see that because culture is always changing. One year this is right to do, the next year that's right. Everything is simply mental concoction. But this Krishna consciousness process is eternal. It's never changed. We have history from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from millions and millions of years. People have been engaged in the very same process that we're following, of chanting the holy names, worshipping the deity in the temple, taking prasadam, association with saintly persons, like this. The very same process, it hasn't changed. And the very same sentiment of love of God is being awakened, naturally. So our contention is that the love is simply misdirected. Simply it has to be redirected towards Krishna. And the spiritual master, he does this. He takes our energy, our love, our intelligence, our everything, and directs it towards Krishna. And as a result, you become purified. It's a very natural process. Just like we have a propensity to love, so rather than waste our love on the temporary forms of the material world, because they're all perishable. Deha patra kala charadushu atma sanesha sachvapi. First of all, we love the body, Deha, and Patra. We love the family members, the sons. Kalatra, we love our wife. Adishu, we like our community, nation. So many things. But all of these things, they're temporary. They won't last. They can't endure. So all of our love practically is being wasted.
There is an example in a water tank. You throw one stone, it becomes a circle. And the circle expands. Unless the circle comes to the shore. Similarly, our loving affair begins from personal self to family, then family to society, community, nation, international, but still it is imperfect unless the circle reaches to the lotus feet of God. Then it is satisfied. Shamin kitarthosmi barangna jase. Here, any loving affair that is more or less lusty, a man or woman love each other with some desire, not without desire. That desire is sense gratification. So actually, that is lust, not love. Pure love can be exchanged in relationship with God. Here, there are temporary, a boy, a girl, or a man, a woman, in relationship of love, but it breaks as soon as the lusty desire is not fulfilled. So here there is no question of love, it is all lusty desire. Real love can be achieved when it is exchanged with Krishna or God. There is the recommendation given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the highest achievement. When we come on the loving platform with God, then we are satisfied. Big, big political leaders in our country, like Mahatma Gandhi, he loved his country so much, but the reward was that he was killed by his own men, by his countrymen. But this is not possible when the love is exchanged between God. Tonteya pratijanihi name bhaktapanasati. A little love for God can save you from the greatest danger of life. That is your love. And if you love Krishna, then you can love with everyone. Just like we are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, it is out of love for Krishna. Otherwise, you would have sat down at home and loved Krishna. Why you are trying to spread this love exchange to others? Because I know, or we know, that here in this material world, the so-called love exchange is frustrating. People are being frustrated. Then let him love Krishna, then he'll be successful. This is our mission. Everyone has got loving propensity. This child has now left for his mother, or the mother has left, but as soon as the child will grow, the love will finish. He will love somebody else. When he becomes young man, the love is transferred to somebody else. So, here the so-called love is not permanent. But when we love Krishna, it is permanent exchange of loving humor or mellow. And that is required. Sthayi, it is called Sthayi Bhav. Sthayi means permanent. It will never vanquish. You will relish loving mellow, eternal. Aslishya bhapadaratam kunastamam marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidhidhatalam pata matpranana tasva sahiva. Explain this word.
Sikhasta. I do not know anyone but Krishna as my Lord.
Yeah.
This is Lord Chaitanya. He wrote only 8 verses about all this literature. Then by his father, there's volumes and volumes about love of God. So in this Shastakam, 8 verses, the last verse is translated as the phrase, I do not know anyone but Krishna as my Lord. And he will always remain as such. Even if he handles me roughly in his embrace, or makes me broken-hearted, not being present before me. He's completely free to do anything and everything, and he'll remain my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. So this is just the opposite. This is pure love. This is the opposite of the what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that in this material world, love is based on some desire. It actually becomes a kind of business, that I love you if you will respond in this way. What to speak of someone saying that I love you, even if you act as a debauch. You don't have to be faithful. That's you can do as you like in your own way. But my declaration is that I simply want to serve you, and you'll always be my worshipable object. So love should be like that. Otherwise, it is simply business. That I will give you the product if you give me the money. But the lover is the living being.
Does not expect anything in return. That is real love. Just like this mother is loving child, not expecting any return. But she still gives service. That is as a little sample of pure love. But here also, when the child is grown up, when the child is not obedient, the mother practically withdraws love. But in the spiritual world, unconditionally love is there. As it is explained, āśliṣyavā pādaratāṁ kinastamā marmāhatāṁ, whatever you do, I don't mind that, but still I love you. That is pure love.
As a mother loves the child in pure love, does that help her to also find the pure love in the spiritual world?
Oh yes. Just like Mother Yashoda is loving Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is loving Krishna. That is pure love. This loving affair between mother and the son is a parbhakti reflection of that pure love.
I think he's asking a question also that sometimes comes up, that if one loves in this material world, for example, one loves a child or loves humanity, does this help to develop love of God?
No. But if you love God, it helps to love the humanity. Just like if you supply food to the stomach, it helps the eyesight. But if you supply food to the eyes, then you become blind.
Coming to this moon, we're like children, and it's important how we're molded, you know, molded into Krishna consciousness. Like for example, the child, it's important how the mother mold her activities, the child activities, mold the child's life, so that as the child grows up, acts
he's asking questions. Isn't it important to mold the activities ourselves and also the children that come into this movement, to mold them so that we can become Krishna conscious?
Yes, that is, our Gurukul is there. Now these children are becoming Krishna conscious. That's behind, you see, how they are learning Krishna consciousness. They are doing the same thing, offering obeisances to the deity, taking prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, in the same way as his father is being. Then automatically he is being trained up in Krishna consciousness. Good association, that is required. Satang prasangat mo bija sanvidha. We are keeping this house, why? For association of devotees, so that automatically they become Krishna conscious by association. Unfortunate position is that there is no education about future life or the perfection of life. The education is the animal education. The animal eating, we are eating. If we are eating on table, a nice place, a nice chair, then we think it is advanced. But the business is the eating. Similarly, sleeping, the dog is sleeping on the street, we are sleeping in good apartment, a skyscraper building. They are thinking this is advancement of civilization. But actually the business is sleeping. Similarly, sex life, the dog is having sex life on the street, we are having in a very nice apartment. That business is sex. In this way, our modern activities are animal activities, but in a polished way. But that does not make any difference between the animal propensities and so-called civilized life. Civilized life is there when we understand what is God, our relationship with God. That is civilized life, and that is lacking. There is no such education. The education is only the same animal life in a polished way. That's
Srila Prabhupada? Could it be said that in a society where stress is placed on developing this understanding of God, people would naturally become disinclined towards these so-called modern activities of sense gratification?
And that is the best qualification. If he becomes disinterested with these so-called modern civilized activities, that is the perfection of life. Bhakti parasanubhava virakti annatta syat. Bhakti means the more you become God conscious, you become disinterested with this material activities. And that is needed, because material activities means we are wasting our time. What is the value of animal life? It is risky. If we become like animals, then we become animal next birth. Jangjangamapismaranabhavam tajatante kalevaram. At the time of death, the mind's position will give me another body. That is nature's law. That we do not know. There is no education how the body is being transferred, how the soul is transferred to a different body. And there are 8,400,000 different forms of body. And at the time of death, according to our mentality, we have to accept by nature's law a type of body which may not be human body. That we do not know. There is no education. The people are kept in darkness about the laws of nature. So it's a very risky simulation.
Sometimes they...
It's like without any knowledge, if you infect some disease, it will manifest in due course of time and you have to suffer. Similarly, without any knowledge, we are infecting the modes of material nature. And according to that modes of material nature, we have to accept a type of body which may not be very comfortable. Of course, there is no comfort when there is death. We don't want death, but there is compulsory death. There is no comfort at all. But still, the short duration of life, if we have little comfort, but again, if we have discomfortable life, then what is the benefit of discomfort? That material laws of nature, we do not know, neither any education about it. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving that education. Therefore, it is not a sentimental, so-called religious movement. It is a scientific movement of real education. To solve the problems of life.
I don't think human society has been educated to even understand the problem, or to speak of the cure.
The problem there is, but he's a fool. Who wants to die? Why this fire brigade is running here and there to save life? He doesn't want to die.
They will say, though, that everyone
no,
has
they
died.
Will say that is what they were there, foolishly, or they may say, that let them say. Actually, he doesn't like to die. I thought, let there be fire. Why you call? Fire brigade. Let me die peacefully in the fire. Nonsense is suffering. But still he says there is no suffering. That is nonsense. That is ignorant. He is suffering every moment, but he does not know why he is suffering. That is ignorant. There is an animal. You are taking him to the slaughterhouse. He is suffering. He is screaming. But he does not know why I am taken to slaughterhouse and I am screaming. That is animal life. And when there will be question, why I am suffering? I did not want this fire. Why there is fire? That is perspective. Is there any solution? Then there is human life. And if he remains like animal and simply try to make some remedial measures, he is suffering undoubtedly. But because he does not take it seriously, therefore he is animal. Animal does not take seriously why he is suffering. That is the distinction between human life and animal life. Suffering is there, but the animal does not take it seriously. But human life must take it seriously. That is human life. There are so many sufferings. This is Adi-daivik, by, you say, accident, by nature, by superior power, some miserable condition is enforced upon us. Suppose if there is an earthquake, that is not in your hand, but it may cause some havoc. This is Adi-daivik. Similarly, adi-bhautik, suffering caused by other living entities, and adhyatmik, suffering caused by this body and mind. The suffering is always there, but we are suffering. We have been accustomed to suffer. But when the question is that why I am suffering, whether there is any remedy, that is human life. Otherwise, the animal. That is the distinction between animal and human. If there is fire and there are animals only, dogs and cats, they cannot call fire brigade. They will die because they do not know how to take measures. But human being immediately calls fire brigade just to try to save himself. But the suffering is there, either is animal or human being. But the distinction is the human being tries to counteract it, the animal cannot. See, if you simply become subject to the suffering without any remedial measure, then you are animal. And you are suffering and you try for the remedial measure, that is human. This is plain thing. You cannot say there is no suffering. Suffering is there, both for the animal and for the man. The man tries for the remedial measure, the animal cannot.
Some of the modern day cults in America, different philosophies, they say that all of the suffering is experienced within the mind. So they try by meditation to ignore.
That's all right. When there is fire, you meditate. Why do you call fire? If you are so great meditator, then you go on meditating. Why you call for fire? Nonsense, all rascals. That's why. Simply rascals. Mura. They have been described as Mura. That's good, that's all.
Sometimes they say it's just a dream, and they say, if you are bothering me, then you are just my dream. I don't have to worry about it. I'll have another dream and you'll go away.
Not a dream, he said, it may be. But when the there is fire, it's all a dream, but why do you call fire with it? When you're diseased, why you go to physician? Dream it. The major problems, birth, death, and old age, and disease, we do not want them. You must seek the measures. That is human life. Whether birth, death, old age, disease can be stopped, if there is any such life where there is no more birth, death, that is human life. Athāta brahma jigyāsā, that is the Vedanta philosophy. Now, this human life is meant for inquiring about these things. If you don't inquire, then you remain animal. So this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to save the human society from this animal life, to bring him to the real human life. Animal life means there is suffering, go on suffering. Human life means there is suffering, how to counteract it. That is human life. Suffering, so long you have got this body, there must be suffering. Nūnaṁ pravatta kuruti vikarma jadindriya prita e aprinoti nasādhu manne jato ātmanayam asannapi klesa deyāsa deha. The Kurmis, the Rishabdev is warning, nūnaṁ pravatta kuruti vikarma. These rascals, being mad after sense gratification, they are doing everything and anything irresponsibly. Nūnaṁ pramatta. Pramatta means mad. Nūnaṁ pramatta kurute bhikarma. Things which he should not have done, but he is doing. Why? Just indriya pritaye, simply for sense gratification. Therefore he advised, na sadhu ayam, this is not good. Why it is not good? Jata, he has already got a body, material body, for which he is suffering. And he is again creating the circumstance by which he will again get a material body and he will suffer. Therefore one should act very responsibly, not like madmen. Nūnaṁ pramatta kurute vikarma. Then, this is that instant. Nāyaṁ deha deho bhājāṁ niloke kastān kāmān arhati vīrbhujāṁ. This body, although I have got this body, and the dog has got the body, or the hog has got the body, but this body is not meant for being spoiled like the dogs and hogs. The hog is also whole day working to find out where it stood. If we also work whole day and night for our sense gratification, then where is the difference between the hog's life and my life? The human life, human being should be sober to understand what is the problem of life, why I am subjected to so many tribulations, how to remedy, how to find out the remedy, and that requires tapasya, tapodibbam. In order to create that brain, it requires a little tapasya. Therefore we are recommending no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, because we are already mad by material existence. And again, we are, if you are forced to become more and more mad by intoxication, by meat eating, by this, then where is your life? Your life is finished. Because to understand these problems of life requires a little brain. So, to create that brain, this little tapasya is required. He's already puzzled, and if you make him more and more puzzled by supplying him intoxication and this gross eating or meeting, then he remains in the grossest platform of ignorance. That is not human activity. The brain must be little clear to understand what is the value of life, why I am suffering. If there is any remedial measure, how can I take it? That is brain. And if the brain is used only to find out where is sense gratification, where is sex, where is food, where is shelter, where is money, that business is being done by the hogs and dogs. This Krishna consciousness movement means to save people from these dogs and hogs' life and to come to the real platform of understanding the value of it. They do not know it. Nati vidu sartagati vishnu durasayaji vahiratthamana. They do not know what is the aim of life. Simply by false hope, they are trying to adjust things with material affairs. That will never be done. Durasa. Durasa means it is useless hope. It cannot be. Just like we see that they, here in New York City, American people are very rich and intelligent. But they cannot stop this fire, which is unwanted. They cannot stop it. That is not possible. Because they are living very high, 300 feet high, or more than that, you are not safe still. You are still in the same danger. Because you are living in big, big skyscraper building, it does not mean that you will not die. Death is there also. The birth, death, old age, disease, the real problems of life, does not mean that because we have advanced in so-called material civilization, we have avoided birth, death. Even big, big scientists who gave us so many big, big inventions, but still they died. They could not invent something which will protect them from death. That at the time of death, give me this pill so that I will not die and I will go on giving you more scientific advice. That is not possible. What is your question?
That the some people think that by meditating, that they can somehow or another ignore.
Meditating means this subject matter, that I don't want death. Why death comes upon me? That is real meditation.
So then the problems of life are more than simply those which we perceive.
Yes. Otherwise, what is meditation? Think about something seriously. That is meditation. But if you have no important, serious thinking, it's simply some imagination, how it will help you?
Excuse me, Srila Prabhupada. This evening, They're having one convention here, the Democratic National Convention, one of the two big political parties in the city, at one place called Madison Square Garden. And all the television and newspaper people in the whole country will be there. They're beginning at 8 o'clock this evening. So we want to send all the devotees in the temple on Sankirtan party there, because we feel that not only will the atmosphere become purified, but also all the television cameras and all the newspaper people will interview our devotees and take their picture, and it will be on television all over the country.
That is good, God.
So we are requesting that if all the devotees could possibly go,
yes.
And that way they could all attend. If we have a big force,
at least let them hear Hare Krishna.
Yeah,
that's all.
We're feeling it could be just like with the Chankaji, when he was Lord Chaitanya led it to a disobedience movement. Perhaps if we chant loudly enough,
by hearing this transcendental vibration, they will benefit.
The actual presidential candidates will be there.
Hmm?
The presidential candidates, the candidates for the president of the United States, they will be there.
They'll all be there tonight.
All right.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Give them prasad. Hare Krishna. Both of you were in India?
No, only Mahabodhi and Bhugarbha, who's not here right now. So they were very successful. Now we're thinking we'd like to take this party all over the world if we could.
Oh, yes. Do.
Not so far. We've had our scope, the United States. We wanted to make it the whole world.
And our books are being appreciated by Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the scope is everywhere. What is your experience?
India, Prabhupada, it was very, very large. I wrote you some letters, but the experience was even greater.
Oh, mistake. Come on. So Mrs. Coleman is going to become a sannyasi. Gradually you have to become.
Must.
If you feel uncomfortable, you can sit on this.
No.
You are already accustomed.
I'm always accustomed.
So how are you?
Very good, Prabhupada.
You are now in New York?
I live here.
Oh. No, you live, I know. Sometimes you go out.
Much traveling, but we come for the parade down Fifth Avenue.
So you occasionally come to the temple?
Yes.
That's nice. So, good.
Very good. 200 places, universities, schools, government institutions, big ministers, temple managements for all.
They have given all orders?
Pardon?
They have given all orders?
Yes. Most of them gave orders to our, even unlike some like the United States, in place, they would order all 17 Chaitanya Charitamritas and all the volumes of Bhagavatam out and place an order for the rest to come, plus other books. And we lowered the price to about 45 rupees, which was right where they can afford to pay for the volumes, and immediately taking it.
And what is the usual price?
And it would 7.95, which would be like too many 80 rupees or something like that, and it would be very expensive in India for one volume.
So you have reduced the price
to 45 rupees. Gopal Krishna did that. Made it very, very reasonable for them. They could afford to take.
That's all right. They are taking book that is wanted. We don't want much profit.
Many, many reviewers also. And big Sanskrit is the largest in the world. We've taught many professors here. They also read the reviews and very much appreciate the books. Very, all the different parts of India we visit, from the north to the south.
They welcome. That's fine. So make world party.
Yes, we're very excited to do that. We're going to present it to the GBC, what our practical plan is. Take this same party everywhere, Europe and then India,
And there are other places too.
We are getting good response for our books all over the world.
Constantly growing. Many new volumes coming up.
We're becoming so enthused. We know that you're translating so much because now you're getting lots of textbook orders, large orders, 70, 90, 100 books for one class. So the professors and students are waiting for more books. They're constantly saying more and more.
So you'll coming. Get it. You'll get it.
Thank you, Pro.
So, give prasadam to Mr. Coleman.
Prabhupada, could you please accept this donation?
Thank you. Yeah. And give this garland to Mr. Coleman.
So heavy.
We're still building the fund.
Left over from Gohari's work. So we're constantly putting more money into the fund for your use, whatever.
Yes, my funds are being utilized in printing books and expanding centers. My book trust is divided into two, 50% for reprinting the books and 50% for expanding centers.
Any way I can help Prabhupada, you know?
Thank you.
You're going to have a big parade. My favorite.
You have got that store?
Well, we're doing all wholesaling now, Prabhupada. We sell to stores, department stores, and across the United States. We had to give up the store because we couldn't have, you know, the time-wise.
We are now making wholesale business.
Yes.
Yes.
More volume.
Wholesale business is better than retail. My father was a wholesale cloth seller, cloth merchant. Mm-hmm. So he liked wholesale business, not retail.
The wholesale is much better. It's more financial.
A little profit, but yeah. Aggregate is better.
The volume is more.
Yeah, volume. In those days, he was making cloth business. Mm-hmm. He was making profit. One and a two pies per piece.
Very small profit.
Yes. The Marwari businessmen, they want to sell. Well, suppose 1 lakh of what goes, if there is customer to pay him immediately, 1 lakh 10 rupees, he will sell immediately. He thinks, I got, I have 10 rupees, that's all. Again, person. That is their way of doing. They are not calculating that I have invested 1 lakh of rupees, I must get at least 10% profit. No. Not at loss. A little profit, never mind, give me cash. That is Marwari business. And he, when he goes to purchase from his supplier, he sees that this man is purchasing at a time 1 lakh, 2 lakh, so he gives him all credit.
Works on the credit.
So later on, he establishes credit and says, without any payment, he gets something. And they keep their credit. On the day of payment, they must pay.
Yeah, exactly.
And therefore the Marwaris, they become very big business.
Very powerful.
Yeah. These Birlas, they have become so big, they have so much credit in the market, that by telephone they'll ask any gold merchant that you purchase 1,000 tolas of gold for me. He will immediately purchase because he has a credit. And next moment he phones another gold merchant. What is the price? He says, say 100, I sell 100 tolas. So he purchases without any investment and sells immediately and makes 100 tolas, 1 anna profit, some profit,
sure.
By telephone.
Very quick.
In this way, they become very, very big. They know how to use this art, this Marwari. You are going in India, we'll see. Marwari, very quickly they become, they know how to do business.
Volume
of business. Of course, volume of business can be done, which is easily sellable.
And a very good market in the United States for clothing.
Clothing?
Yeah, constantly growing.
You're purchasing from Ahmedabad?
We purchase from Bombay, out of Bombay.
Oh, Bombay. Bombay is the center. So, now we are having our temple, whenever you go, you can stay with us.
Yes, we've been out there many times.
Mm-hmm.
Vrindavan, Bombay,
uh-huh.
And Maya, you had been in Mayapur also?
No, we have never been to Mayapur. Mm-hmm. We keep...
Mayapur also.
How is the school in Vrindavan? School?
That is still building is going.
Have they started?
After the building is finished.
Well, you know, you must be very busy, Prabhupada, with your writings and your books.
Yes, at night. At daytime I don't find time.
Mm-hmm.
But at night I write.
So we just came to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
To see you.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the parade.
Mm-hmm. Give this to Mrs. Kumar. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Hare.
Hare.
Yeah. We were talking. Management questions come, then it is a distraction. But also, even if the devotees are here and it is preachings, even then so much time is taken. So we want to do the thing which is most pleasing. So we were thinking to arrange a less darshan with the devotees.
But outside that, if they refuse, they may be sorry.
Hmm.
That is.
No outside of the refuse.
Hmm?
No outside of the refuse.
Yeah.
I've arranged that each time in the morning when you go for your walk, we have taken all the devotees.
Only for outsider, you keep, say, from 5 to 6.
Hmm.
And.
Important men.
Let them come one by one. If they come one at a time, they will sit down. They will not try to go out. But if they come, see for 2 minutes and go out, then another comes. And then it will be nice. Interview.
I see. That has to be managed.
Mm-hmm.
And the devotees can come in the morning for class.
That's all. Try this experiment.
Anything that we can do to assist you in the translating work is the best service.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's mustard oil.
Huh?
It's mustard oil with spices, and I'm not sure what the fruit is. It may be mango, I'm not sure.
Some kind of fruit, mango, people.
Why not take a little?
You want me to try it to see what it is?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You have taken? What is that?
You can't tell.
No test?
Tastes like mustard oil and spices. I think it's mango. I think it's green mango.
That's not it.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's mango.
Mango? That's mango.
It's like pickled onions.
This verse that we were studying yesterday, Yogya Patra, Haotumi Bhakti Pravartaite, Krame Sabha Tattva Shuna, Kahiye Tomate. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them.
This is the to see the Niva's sanitary condition.
Oh, yes.
Such a important country is so nasty everywhere, park, street. What is that? This is a good sign. In other cities, you see so neat and clean. Washington, even that parkway, so neat and clean. Why this city is neglected? Los Angeles also, neat and clean. Which other cities we went?
Detroit.
Detroit is also.
That park was a little dirty also. Beer cans everywhere.
This is national degradation. Every street full of garbage, litters. Not only now, but I was living here that time. The last 10 years, at least I am saying.
One of the parents of the devotees who came the other day, they said they went to Vrindavan, and the gentleman who brought those pictures, photographs in Washington, he said he was surprised how clean Vrindavan was.
Even in the poorest man's house we go, in the village, we'll find everything neat and at least their kitchen and eating, very neat. And climatic condition is also bad. Almost all the year there is sunshine. Only during rainy season. That is also cooling effect. After summer season, the rainy season covering the, that is enjoyable, cooling. Now everywhere,